You forgot?
WGXC 90.7 FM.
Who are you?
ICRA.
Oh, sorry.
I'm Ellen Thurston. Oh, okay. I'm here with Tom
our guests.
DiPietro.
Oh, yes, me, Tom DiPietro, and our guests. Just trying to confuse them.
Paul Ricciardi.
Who's been here probably way too many times already. But that's all right, because he's a good guest, and he has a good voice. A voice you can hear up at Olana, I believe.
It's true, actually.
Yeah, I don't forget you. So, I don't forget stuff. And who's your...
And I'm Lauren Letellier.
Ah. Any relation to Orlando?
No, but everyone asks me that all the time. He spelled it with one L.
Ah, okay.
I spell it with two.
Ah. Remember him, Ellen, don't you?
I do not.
Blown up in a car in D.C.
He was a Chilean diplomat who was assassinated in D.C. back in the late 70s or...
Yeah, in my... Yeah, I wasn't born yet, but yeah, I heard about it.
Wow.
You don't remember that?
I got calls from all over the country asking
oh, really?
If I'd known him when it happened.
You know, he was part of the Allende regime that was toppled, and then he was still in D.C. trying to, you know, look into the whole... Pinochet coup, and they blew him up.
And look what happened.
Yep. Anyway. And there was an American citizen in the car with him, I believe.
Yes.
Yeah, I was into that stuff then.
A staffer, I think.
Yeah. Anyway, you're not here to talk about that.
Okay, folks. Paul is the co-director of the Ancrum Opera House.
Indeed I am.
So my first question, before Ellen takes over, you're heating that place all winter?
Oh, God.
I hope so.
We, you know, okay. So the answer to that is no, we're not. Mm-hmm. We heat some of it some of the time, and then we keep the parts, you know, that are large and cavernous like the theater unheated when we're not there. But, you know, actually the theater itself, when people are in it, it heats up pretty quickly. You know, it's,
oh,
yeah. You know,
really?
It's, so it's
a lot of rubbing of bodies and stuff?
A lot of rubbing of bodies, maybe. I don't know. But it's a big building to heat.
Okay, Ellen, you can take
You live above the store, don't you, so to speak?
We do live above the store. So there's a loft space above the store where Jeff and I live. And then the theater is at the street level. And then there's a garden apartment below, and that's where we house actors.
Oh.
I'll be closer to the mic. And then in the summer, we have a gazebo, too.
Not inside the theater. You have a gazebo outside?
Yeah, it's outside.
Just wanted to clarify.
So you're heating things up this weekend.
Yeah, we are totally heating things up. And Lauren Letellier is here to help us heat up. We have our second edition of Real People, Real Stories. We're calling it the winter edition.
Tell us what it is in general.
So, Real People, Real Stories, we have been actually, in all of our press, for the longest time now, we've been saying that it is inspired by the Moth Radio Hour on NPR. But I learned something the other day, which is that what we're doing at the Opera House is actually not like the Moth Radio Hour.
Good, because we're not an NPR station
either.
No,
you're the Pacifica. Independent community. So, but we, what we do is we work with storytellers. To craft and tell real life experiences that have happened to them, but they are not memorized. They're not memorized at all. I mean, there's a path to the story, but
are they fact checked?
They're not really, but you know, you can tell. And from what I understand, I've been talking to some people who've been on the Moth, and they are memorized. So that's kind of a difference. Anyway, so we have five storytellers this weekend telling. Real life stories that have something to do with fall or winter, hence the winter edition.
Got it. That sounds like fun, Ellen, huh?
It does sound like fun.
Sort of like what we do here. We tell stories.
Tell our life stories. Not exactly. Well, Lauren is going through the experience, and maybe you've done it before. I don't know, but not at the Ancrum Opera House. So far?
No, never at the Ancrum Opera House, although I did attend last summer's first edition of Real People, Real Stories, and that's what inspired me to want to be part of this winter edition. It was honestly a standing room only house in this really wonderfully rustic community theater space, and it was people from our community telling stories about what it, you know, things that had happened to them in their lives, and some of them were funny, and some of them were just poignant and beautiful. And you could have heard a pin drop in that room. So
it inspired you just out of the blue? I mean, do you have any experience with storytelling?
A little bit.
Okay.
I wrote a one-woman show that premiered at the New York Fringe Festival in 2014. And I've performed it around. And I did a little bit of storytelling in New York before my husband and I moved up here to Hillsdale full-time at the very end of 2014. That awful winter when it didn't stop snowing till Easter. Mm-hmm. Remember that one?
Love that one.
I remember it well.
Yes. So
I remember it well.
I collect stories, and I had a few in my hip pocket. And when Paul invited me to audition on the phone line, you know, you pitch your story. You've got a minute to call and give the outlines of your story. And I did that. And I got about, you know, three facts in before it was cut off. But I guess it was enough to interest Paul and Jeff in having me as part of this winter episode.
I don't want to, like, do a spoiler alert, but Lauren's story is touching and really, really funny at times. And there were some things, you know, it's like this phone line that people call, it's a Google number. And what happens is
what's a Google number?
Google has a service where they give you a free phone number.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And it's actually quite handy. And so we use this Google phone number. It's called Google Voice. And so Lauren called Google Voice. And the first thing I do is I'll read the transcript, but they do a horrible job sort of transcribing it. So like you'll read it and it's like, wait, what? There was a cobra? What? But I could read.
Yeah.
And there's just enough. I forget there were just enough things in your story. I really don't want to do any spoiler alerty things.
But you said before it's not rehearsed.
It's not. No. So when we ask people who want to pitch a story to leave a 1-minute version of their story on the line, and we hear it, and you know, we're just listening to. It's not so much of what the story is about as it is what you know, the energy and the sound of the person.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's what we're listening to.
So you need a good voice.
Not really. Oh, okay. I mean, I don't even know what that is, but it's just
that was.
Was that your good voice? No, I like this. I like this voice better.
Okay. You need to be able to tell a good story.
Yes, and Paul has. We've had a couple of sessions where we've talked through not the story word for word, but sort of the beats of the story or the stepping stones of the story, getting from here to there, and then coming back around again. And those have been really helpful sessions for me because, you know, this is a story that I've told to people at cocktail parties, but never well knit together way. And mm-hmm. now I feel like it has an arc to it. That
so you've tried it now in front of sober people.
Well, I didn't say that. you may.
I'm not sober.
You choose to believe that. No, but I don't know. I come from a family of storytellers, and I think we all know everybody who knows how to tell a good story. I grew up. I was actually born just outside of Springfield, Mass. But my family moved to New Hampshire when I was 13. And
can you tell a story in a New Hampshire accent?
I can't. You know why? Because Springfield is in the greater New York metro area.
Sure, it would be. Yeah.
So I never learned that New Hampshire accent when I was. Beyond the age, I guess, when you pick that kind of thing up.
Mm-hmm.
My younger siblings can do it, but I cannot.
Is the New Hampshire accent anything like a Maine accent?
Yes.
Yeah. New Hampshire, Maine, Boston all have that broad A sound and the substitute of the AH for the R.
What's the incentive not to just write it down and publish this story?
Do you know how to get published? Because if you do, we should talk after this. Because I really have no idea how.
Well, I guess what I'm saying is it a distinct genre from just writing a story, or are you just basically doing that and reciting it out loud?
I think it's very different because it's theatrical, mm-hmm. and you don't have to spell everything out because
you got to move your hands and stuff.
Well, hopefully there's some energy on the stage. Paul actually can comment on this because we talked about this a little bit. The difference between writing something mm-hmm. and just telling a story.
Okay, Paul.
Well, so here's the thing: the Real People, Real Stories has actually attracted a number. We've had a couple writers this time and our last edition. And writers always give me just a little bit of a headache because what happens is, I mean, it's great because writers have a brain for detail and color. But what we as an audience don't want is something memorized. We want the direct download from the storyteller's brain to our ears immediately, and we don't want to look for the writer standing and remembering
clever phrases.
So I think there's a difference there, and also because it's live, it has to be really economical. You know, a writer can spend a whole page talking about a living room. Mm-hmm. Lauren has like 5 seconds, and then she has to move on to the next detail. Because each story is no more than 10 minutes or so.
And so I imagine also, like, your voice inflections, all those kinds of ways you can communicate something without elaborating in words. You know, the more, as you would say, the theatrical aspects, right? Or no?
Well, but it's not acting. It's different. Right. It's different from acting. It truly is storytelling, in mm-hmm. that you want to speak in your normal voice. You don't want to act out characters.
Right.
Although I tend to be a kind of histrionic person in general, so I'll try not to act out the characters or do voices or that kind of thing.
Right.
But you know, it would be like if I were sitting in a room with you and I was just telling you what happened.
Right. Yeah.
So for the most part, are these stories of things that have happened to the people that are telling us about them?
Yeah. So one of our rules is that the story has to be about you, so you have to be in the story. Mm-hmm. So like Ellen, if you were going to tell a story, it can't be about your brother.
She has some stories, let me tell you.
Yeah. You have to be central to the story. That's the deal.
Right.
So we're listening to people talk about things that happened to them. I feel like I'm so close to the microphone. I feel like that Norman Rockwell. I feel like Lauren and I are, and we're sharing a microphone. That thing where they have this the straw and they're sharing the milkshake.
The soda.
That's what it feels like.
That's very cute.
Now there's a story there.
Maybe. Yeah.
So you're having 4 different people on Saturday.
We
right?
actually have 5 now.
Oh,
we
really?
We have 5. Yeah, we added one more storyteller. Her name is Darlene White, and she's from Pittsfield, which we think of as sort of the edge of our catchment yes. area.
Were they all recruited from the Google Voice thing?
Yeah,
really?
Yep, they were.
So you didn't know these people at all previously, more or less?
Did we not? We knew most of them from our audience. Mm-hmm. One of our storytellers, Peter Chipkowski.
Oh, yeah, we know. He's been on our show.
Yeah, he's coming back. He was a storyteller in the summer, and he's coming back to mm-hmm. do a story again.
It's a seasonal story, I gather.
It does have a winter situation going on.
And what about all those poor people you've rejected from Google Voice?
You know, I would love to say we were like flooded and we had thousands of. We're not there yet, but the people we did say no thank you to were, if the story just didn't, we were really trying to stick with the theme. Over the summer, a lot of our audience members said, oh, we'd really love a Christmas show. And, you know, Christmas shows are great, but it just felt like, you know, a lot of people don't like Christmas. So we wanted to find a way to sort of celebrate the season.
Right. And who's going to do better than Gene Shepherd anyway, right?
Well, exactly.
You know? Exactly.
And so, you know, and a lot of people hate it. So we wanted to do something that kind of created space for everybody.
Sure.
I feel like I lost what we were talking about and all of that, but...
The rejected ones.
Rejected. Oh, so people were rejected because of things like we had people who had written stories that they wanted to read, or people who had a fun story that wasn't about them. So they were the stories that kind of got not invited.
So the other storytellers are Jan Hanvik. Mm-hmm. A lot of people in Hudson know Jan because he was head of the Arts Council for a while.
And here's a fun fact to know and tell. It turns out that I worked with his brother for years at a big PR agency in New York City. His brother was in Minnesota. And I never knew Jan, but I knew Robert quite well.
There you go.
And I had a rehearsal with Jan this morning, and he talked to his brother, and his brother said, oh, yeah, I know Lauren. She was one of the good ones.
Oh. Uh-oh.
Ellen, by the way, what are the details on this event?
The details?
Yeah, like when, where?
3:00 Saturday.
Okay. Saturday afternoon at 3 p.m.
You don't have to get all defensive about it.
Well, I think I said it in the very
beginning. I think you may have, but I just thought it...
Oh, enough of this squabbling.
3 p.m. Saturday at the Ankrum Opera House.
On County Route 7.
County Route 7, 1330, County Route 7.
Tickets. Do you need... Oh, sorry.
Do you want me to talk about tickets?
Yeah, yeah, no. But you can't say prices.
I won't say a price, but you can go to ankrumoperahouse.org.
Do you have to have a reservation? I mean,
yeah,
you know.
You know, here's the... It's
what's your seating capacity?
Well, that depends on the show. Mm. I think for this show, we're going to cut it off at about 75. Okay. Our parking lot shrinks in the winter.
Aha. Uh-huh. The shrinking.
Yeah, you know,
lot.
You know, cold shrinkage.
Mm. And very funny. Okay, folks. The fourth reader is Ian Jarvis, which I don't want to give anything away, but he has an interesting story to tell.
I think, I mean, you know, there is a press release with little teeny snippets. Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, Ian Jarvis, we can just say drug bust.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's enough. Enough said.
Yeah.
But it sounds really wonderful.
Well, the event last summer was, as I said, wonderful.
Standing
room only. Instant hit. Cool. And so popular that they're doing it twice.
Yeah. I mean, it was really a surprise. We you know, the space is so small, and it lends itself to intimacy. And so we, somewhere along the line, we realized, oh, well, let's do this storytelling thing. And we didn't know what was going to happen. It was a huge success. And then the other success was the joy that we've had at the Opera House in developing, you know, working on these stories with the volunteers. It's been really great.
Wonderful. Well,
do you have... your summer schedule, your spring and summer schedule lined up?
We're working on it. We're not quite ready to announce. We will announce soon. But we will do two Real People, Real Stories next year for sure. We'll do another, at least one more cabaret, similar to like Joseph Koeckler. Mm-hmm. We've got a couple other projects in the works, but we're just not quite ready to announce yet.
Cool.
Great. Well, thank you so much for coming in and telling us about the stories.
My pleasure.
You've been speaking with Paul Ricciardi and Lauren Letelier. And Lauren will be reading, well, I'm sorry, not reading, but reciting a story Saturday at 3 p.m. at the Ankrum Opera House in, surprisingly, Ankrum.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming in, letting us know all about it. Sounds great.